Divine Mercy Sunday is coming, and it is so simple that it's confusing. That's why we're going to talk about 10 desires of Jesus, 10 requirements that we need to be aware of and fulfill before Divine Mercy Sunday arrives. We're going to talk about that in today's video. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Now, before we even get into these, we have to talk about the idea that Divine Mercy Sunday promise, the Feast of Mercy, as it is referred to in the Diary of Divine Mercy of St. Faustina, it is not an indulgence. It is not an indulgence. It is a completely separate category. It is a promise of Jesus that is far different from all the requirements of an indulgence, and that confuses people so much that the church has in fact attached an indulgence to it so that we can have the regular rules of an indulgence to help us to understand it. We're going to talk about the specific tie to Divine Mercy Sunday requirements, but first, these are other things that Jesus says throughout the diary that he wants us to be doing in preparation. So the first one is, if you are clergy, and really this applies to everybody, it's this. He desires that priests proclaim this great mercy of mine towards souls of sinners. So if we know sinners, which we do, we are one, and I'm doing this right now for you, we need to proclaim his mercy to them. Now, this doesn't mean that those people are going to listen to us. This doesn't mean that we're going to convert them. This doesn't mean that we're going to do this well. All this means is that we have a responsibility to say something. How can we say this? I don't know if there's a perfect formula. You can simply just say, hi, my name is so-and-so. This Sunday is Divine Mercy Sunday. You need to go to Mass and confession like right now because Jesus is promising incredible things this Sunday. We can make these proclamations in general terms that the average person can understand. So that's the first one. The second one is that he commands us not to be afraid. Let the sinner not be afraid to approach me. Now, this isn't just a nice thing, because if we're afraid to approach his mercy, we will, as he says in other places, run into his justice, and the consequences of that could be our eternal perdition, our going to hell. We do not want to be judged by God's justice. We want to be judged in light of his mercy. So, as he tells us, we must not be afraid to approach his mercy. This is a command. The third one deepens this in saying that we must believe that he is mercy. He says, oh, how I am hurt by a soul's distrust. Such a soul professes that I am holy and just, but does not believe that I am mercy. So therefore, we must believe that Jesus is mercy. Even the devils glorify my justice, but do not believe in my goodness. So if we believe that God is holy and just, but we do not believe that he is merciful, we're just like the demons and no different. Do you want to be a demon or do you want to be an angel? The choice is yours right now. Therefore, believe that Jesus is mercy. Even if you don't feel it, believe it. The fourth one is that we must take refuge in his mercy. So we must go further and not just believe or know that he is, but we must live in that mercy. That's what taking refuge is. Listen to what he says. I desire that the Feast of Mercy be a refuge and a shelter for all souls, and especially for poor sinners. So not just any type of soul, but even and especially people that are particularly sinful, that they live out of this Feast of Mercy. This is incredibly important for us to do. The fifth one is, and this gets into the specific requirements that he says, and the only thing that he says that we need to do for the Feast of Divine Mercy is this: the soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. Now, we have to be incredibly precise and listening to what he says and not add in something that he doesn't say. So it doesn't say when to go to confession or when to receive Holy Communion. The presumption is, and ideally, we would do this on Divine Mercy Sunday. Many churches actually do not have confession on Divine Mercy Sunday. My wife and I are actually going to a Polish church that has confession on Sunday. So we want to do it as literal as possible, but my suggestions are as follows. Go to confession before so that you're ready, and then go to Mass on Divine Mercy Sunday. You can do the vigil, but there's something beautiful about going to confession on the Sunday itself. Now, if you are someone who is sick, you might not be able to make it to a Mass. Arrange, therefore, with a church to bring you Holy Communion, to bring you the Eucharist to your house. This would count. Notice that he did not say, go to Mass. Now, obviously, 99% of the time that we receive Holy Communion, it's because we went to Mass, but he didn't say that. So he allows for the fact that we can receive Holy Communion outside of Mass if we're sick and homebound. And this counts for us to fulfill the requirements for us to receive that promise of Divine Mercy Sunday. The next one is that it must be solemnly celebrated. Now, this could mean a variety of things, but we should celebrate this with a reverence, with a seriousness, and with an incredible deep joy. The only thing really we need to do about that is to deeply understand the whole day and profoundly meditate on his suffering, all that he went through for us, all that St. Faustina went through to bring this about, and to meditate on the reality that we have just received this complete pardon of sin and punishment, that not only can we get out of hell, but we can even get out of purgatory if we were to die on Divine Mercy Sunday. We would go straight to heaven. He says the following: it is my desire that it be solemnly celebrated on the first Sunday after Easter. The seventh thing that he wants us to do is he wants us to worship his mercy. He says in this, I demand the worship of my mercy through the solemn celebration of the feast. Now, what can this mean? Let's get a little bit creative here. Now, we're going to get very creative here. Now, in the traditional sense, worship is when something was sacrificed to a deity, something was sacrificed to a god, something of value, hence a sacrifice. In the old religions, what would they sacrifice? They would literally sacrifice their livelihood. They would offer up some animal and kill it, and that animal meant something to them. It cost them, they raised it, they cared about it, it was going to provide food, they were going to make money off of it, and they totally sacrificed it to whatever was the god that they were worshiping. And this was a sense of sacrifice, that the spilling of some blood and offered to God, that the highest thing that they were able to offer. Now, what can we do? One of the things, obviously, is in going to Mass. But think of, is there some sacrifice, some worthy thing that you can sacrifice to God's mercy? Perhaps something that you sacrifice it to God's mercy, and you ask God, and you do an act of mercy also, perhaps by praying for the conversion of some sinner, praying for the conversion of some family loved one, or something like that. So think about that, worshiping God's mercy, of making a special gift in honor of his mercy, a gift, a time of prayer, a sacrifice. Ask the Holy Spirit to inspire you. And this will help you take Divine Mercy Sunday further and more deeply than you ever have. The eighth one is, he wants us to venerate the image of Divine Mercy. We must stand before it, pray before it, kneel before it, honor it, venerate it, worship it. It's Jesus. It is Jesus. It's one of the best images, I think personally, of Jesus. Jesus himself thinks it's one of the best ones. That's why he gave it to us. Listen to what he says. And through the veneration of the image which is painted, by means of this image, I shall grant many graces to souls on Divine Mercy Sunday. You kneel before that image and you ask for all the graces that you want. What do you want? What do you need? What do people around you need? You pray for it like crazy. Stop at nothing. Ask for everything. This is the day. And think about it, on that day in front of the image, especially if you're doing that at the 3 p.m. hour on that day, you ask for everything in your heart and ask the Holy Spirit to inspire things for you to ask. Venerate the image on Divine Mercy Sunday. The ninth thing is something that may not be possible for you to do because we're already, you know, really far into it, but he desires for people to say the novena of chaplets leading up to Divine Mercy Sunday. The Lord told me to say this chaplet for 9 days before the feast. Now, if you were not able to do that, start right now after the video. Start with the 9-day novena. It's awesome. I think it's one of the best novenas out there because we're bringing different groups of people, including the souls in purgatory, to our Lord. And it is powerful because we read the meditations that are given and then we pray the chaplet. Absolutely beautiful. Say the novena. And then the last one, saving the best for last, there must be acts of mercy. He says the following: Yes, that first Sunday after Easter is a Feast of Mercy, but there must also be acts of mercy. Now, this sort of ties it all together. What is an act of mercy? An act of mercy could be taking, for instance, from the physical and the spiritual acts of mercy that the church gives us. One of those can be praying for those souls in purgatory, educating people that are in error, teaching sinners, etc. There's a whole list of them. I'll probably have them right here on the screen what they are. But let me suggest to you one act of mercy that will be incredibly pleasing to the Lord. Tell one person that you think does not know about Divine Mercy Sunday. Tell them, stop at nothing to convince them. Be Jesus's echo. Tell them about it. Someone who's sinful, explain to him, Saint Faustina, Jesus appeared to them. She lived in the time of World War II. He gave this message. He told them about Divine Mercy Sunday, where all you have to do is go to confession and go to Mass. And if you do that and you receive Holy Communion in a state of grace, then all your sins gone, everything. You stand clear before the Lord. Explain it very simply, in a way that anyone can understand. Drag them to Mass. One person. That's it. Just bring one person that otherwise would not have gone, so that they can share in this incredible promise. And what will Jesus say to you? Charity covers a multitude of sins. Those that lead someone away from sin save their souls, and so many other ways that the scripture promises that if we do these things, the Lord will forgive us so much in gratitude for bringing him the souls for which he thirsts. My friends, you and I know that the way that the world is going, everything feels so intense. Everything feels so urgent, like something is coming. And each Divine Mercy Sunday feels like it may be our last. So let's act that way, because it really could be. Let's do these 10 things to intensify our celebration of Divine Mercy Sunday, particularly this last one. Bring someone that otherwise would not have gone. Encourage them. Plead with them. Pray for them, sacrifice for them, to bring them to the church, and God's mercy, Jesus's mercy, will do the rest. My friends, please don't forget to support one of the sponsors of this channel, the Rosary Experience app on iOS and Android. Check it out. Amazing way to help you pray the rosary better. And another one of their works, purgatoryproject.org, where you can register your deceased loved ones and others can pray for them. Support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I will see you in the next one.